What I want to share with you is something concerning God's ways to know God. If I were to ask you, what is the definition of eternal life? You know, we speak in the church, at least I do, in a very simple way that even children can understand. So even the children should learn this. What is the definition of eternal life? Now, most people would say eternal life is to live forever. But people who go to hell also live forever. They burn in hell forever. Have they got eternal life? No. Eternal life, let's look at the definition which Jesus gave. Turn with me to John 17 and verse 3. John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3. This is eternal life. This is the definition Jesus gave. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, eternal life is not referring to the length of your life. Every human being who is born, once he is born, from that point onwards, he's going to live forever. There's no animals, donkeys and dogs and all don't live forever. But human beings, once they are born, they live forever. After. Maybe in heaven, maybe in hell. But they live forever. But that's not eternal life. Because we know that people who go to hell don't have eternal life. God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him, that He sent His Son to die for us, that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. Not everybody. So here, the definition of Jesus of eternal life is that we come to know God. So, this is very important. If I were to ask you, do you have eternal life? I think most of you would say, yes, I've received Jesus as my Savior, so I have eternal life. But do you mean by eternal life that you know God? And that's something we have to grow in. See what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. Now, when Timothy got this letter, I think he was about 45 years old. He joined Paul when he was 20 years old. And he was with Paul for 25 years as a wholehearted, radical, faithful fellow worker with Paul. Paul treated him like his son. He was the finest of Paul's co-workers. And at the age of 45, after he had walked with God for 25 years or more, he may have walked with God for even 30 years. I think he must have been converted when he was 15 or so. Here's a 45-year-old man who's walked with God for 30 years, co-worker of the Apostle Paul. You know what Paul tells him in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Now, if somebody were to write to you and say, take hold of eternal life, how would you understand it? How would you understand an older brother who loves you very much telling you, brother, sister, take hold of eternal life? How do you do it? I'm sure all of you have read 1 Timothy, sometime in your life. What did you do when you came to this verse? 1 Timothy 6:12. If you have never read 1 Timothy, okay. But if you have read 1 Timothy even once, and you came to this verse, what did you do with it? Did you stop and say, Lord, what does that mean to take hold of eternal life? My question is, do you read the Bible seriously? Do you stop when you don't understand something? That's how I study the Bible, and that's how I've understood the Bible a little more. I come to a verse and I can't understand it. And it's like a stoplight, red. I can't move. I can't move because I haven't understood this verse. Next morning, I open my Bible. I'm still at the same verse. There's a red light. I can't go from here. And I say, Lord, I'm not going to go till I understood this verse. And sometimes for a few days, then I got it. The light becomes green. Then I go. You know, if you read the Bible like that, we may not go through the Bible 25 times in our life, but the Bible will go through us. That's been my prayer. I say, Lord, I don't want to go through the Bible 20 times or 50 times. I want the Bible to go through me once. That means every verse in the Bible, which is for me, must go through my life once. So, in my younger days, you know, I read a verse like this. I didn't understand it. And most of the people in the church I attended also did not understand it. There was nobody I could go to. But when you understand that, we read in John 17, eternal life is to know God. And to take hold of eternal life means to get to know God better and better and better and better. That's the secret of the Christian life, is to get to know God and Jesus Christ better and better and better. That means to know the way He thinks. For example, here's a young couple who love one another, who just got married. And even though they may love one another very much, the wife doesn't really know much about her husband. Because he just got married, maybe last week. So, if somebody comes to their home and asks the wife, well, here's something, we need an important decision that your husband is not at home. Can you tell me what he would do? The wife would say, I don't know. I don't know what he'd do in this situation. Wait till he comes home. But if you ask that same wife 10 years later, after she has got to live with her husband and know her husband, then she can say, hey, I know what my husband will do. I've lived with him 10 years and I know how he thinks. I know his values. And I think I can give you an answer as to what my husband would do. Not if they were fighting with each other, but if they really loved one another and got to understand one another and know one another. A wife will know a lot about her husband. How he thinks and what he would do in a particular situation. That even if he's not at home, she'll be able to take the decision which her husband would take. And when her husband comes back and she says, I did this, and he'll say, bang on, that's exactly what I would do as well. And that's the way we must know the Lord. That as we live with Him more and more and more, we come to know the way God thinks. You know, that's one of the greatest privileges, to get to have His nature and to get to know Him. And I want all of you to lay hold of eternal life. Take hold of eternal life. It's the most wonderful thing you can ever have. It's greater than having a healing ministry or even a preaching ministry or anything. To know God is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ is eternal life. To know Him intimately like a friend. Don't miss out on this. And from the time we are born again, we must take hold of eternal life. Get to know Him. See, in the Old Testament, I show you a verse in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we read. Verse 7. God made known His ways to Moses and His acts or actions to the sons of Israel. See, Moses and the sons of Israel were on two different levels spiritually. The sons of Israel could only see God's actions. He healed the sick. He split the Red Sea. When we were bitten by snakes, He raised up a bronze serpent and healed us. When we were hungry, He dropped manna from heaven. When we were thirsty, He hit the rock and the water flowed out. These are the acts of God. the things that God did, but they never understood God's ways. Why does God do things like this? And why does He not do this? But Moses, he didn't find it out on his own. It says God made known His ways to Moses. Why did God treat Moses specially in a way he couldn't explain to the sons of Israel? I mean, it's just like you can explain certain things to a 20-year-old son that you cannot explain to a 2-year-old, right? Even if you explain it to the 2-year-old, he can't understand. But a 20-year-old son or daughter, you can explain and the person is able to grasp what dad or mom are saying. It's like that, you know. Moses was close to God and more mature. God could say to him, and like a grown-up son, he could say, "This is the way I do things." But he could not reveal that to the sons of Israel. And I find among believers also, there are those like Moses and there are those like the sons of Israel who are only thinking of, I want God to answer this prayer. I want God to do this for me, to do that for me. Only God's actions. I want God to do a miracle here. I want God to give me this, give me that, the other thing. They are perpetually children. Whereas a grown-up person will not be thinking of what God can give him or answer him. For example, you know, if a father is a businessman and he's gone on a long business trip and he's come back home, and the 5-year-old and the 8-year-old will, what are they looking for? They say, "Dad, did you bring any toys for us? Did you bring any chocolates? Did you bring..." That's all they're thinking of. Well, what has dad got for me? But a 25-year-old son, he's not looking for chocolates and toys. He's saying, "Dad, how did our business go? Is the business prospering? Did he get some orders? Can we expand our business?" These are two different levels. And you find among believers also, there are those who only think of, "Lord, what chocolates can you give me? What toys can you give me? Something for me. Some answer to this prayer, some answer to that prayer. Something here, something there. Always some gift God has to give me." And then there are another level of believers who say, "Lord, how's your work going on? I want to know more about the spread of God's word, God's work in the world or in India, for example. How's the work going on and is God's word spreading?" That's a mature son. And God sees those who are only interested in toys and chocolates, spiritually speaking, and those who are interested in knowing more about His work and His ways. Now, I'm not trying to say this to condemn any of you, but all I'm asking is, how long will you take to grow up? That's the question. How long are you going to sit occupied with what God can give you here or give you there or do this for you and become a co-worker with Him in His work? God's doing a work in the world through the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came here.